License fees may apply. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states and MLSconsumeraccess.org. Number 3030.
I feel like I'm being haunted by a pair of headphones. Everywhere I go is a creepy ad for headphones I looked at one time. I hate feeling like I'm being watched. I downloaded DuckDuckGo and saw a difference right away. Take back your privacy with DuckDuckGo.
Recent weather taking a toll on your roof? A-Team Roofing has you covered, literally, with their 24-hour tarp service to stop further damage.
I pity the fool that doesn't check out our online reviews.
A-TeamRoofers.com.
Yes! Ha!
CBS Thursday.
Yes! Yes, yes, yes!
It's a brand new episode of The Unicorn.
I'm so jazzed. I mean, I expected to be jazzed, but I'm even more jazzed than I thought I'd be, and that was pretty jazzed.
We got this.
We got this, Wade!
Forrest, what are you doing?
I'm sorry. I don't know. It's very inspiring.
A new Unicorn, Thursday, 9:30, 8:30 Central on CBS.
Why so serious?
So where's your glass if you are wrong?
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills and messes quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading value brand. So you can get back to the party. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
92.9 FM ESPN presents the area's only national columnist who spends his afternoons bringing unique perspective to Memphis radio. He'll make you think. He'll make you laugh. He'll sometimes make you change the station if children are around. And he apologizes in advance for that. It's 4 o'clock. Let's get into it. This is the Gary Parrish Show.
I'm here. My name is Gary Parrish. I'm speaking to you from Hernando, Mississippi. I'll explain momentarily, I promise. Ben Adolph producing the program. Glad he's with me. Glad you're with me. Hope you're getting through the day as best you can. And I hope you're also being as careful as you can be out there as this COVID-19 virus rages on throughout our community. And even if you are, it doesn't mean it can't still get you or a loved one. And that's why I'm talking to you right now from my home instead of from the studio. I'll get into it in a second. First, though, quickly, let me set this afternoon's schedule for you. 420 Matt Babcock is going to join me. He's an NBA draft analyst for, among others, CBS Sports HQ. So with the NBA draft schedule for Wednesday night, who better to talk to than Matt Babcock? I will ask him about James Wiseman. I will ask him about Precious Achiuwa. Matt Babcock going to join me in the next segment. When I finish that, I'm going to take a break, come back, do 4 notable stories, 444, at which point I will discuss 4 previously undiscussed stories. Among them, Dustin Johnson won the Masters yesterday by 5 shots, ended at 20 under par. Kind of a drama-free final round, but maybe that's what you get when the best golfer in the world plays to his capabilities. We'll get into the Masters a little later on this hour. Will Muschamp is out at South Carolina. Wasn't hard to see that coming. Fired yesterday after a disappointing tenure that followed a disappointing tenure at Florida. Get into that story a little later on. The NCAA tournament is going to all be held in one general area in 2021. That area is Indianapolis. I'll give you the details on that just before 5 o'clock. And Memphis and Tennessee have announced that they have rescheduled this season's game for next season. It'll be played December 2021 at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. So that's good news. We'll talk about it during 4 notable stories, 444. 5 o'clock, Jeff Cock is just like always. Then I will eventually do dinner to go and get on out of here. So that's the rundown. We got a lot to get to. But I wanted to start with the mess that pulled me away from the show last Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday and has me hosting from my home for the foreseeable future. My wife, Kelly, tested positive for COVID-19 last Wednesday morning. As many are anxious to tell me on Twitter for reasons that are nothing but weird, she will almost certainly survive. That's the good news. But the bad news is that she's been very, very sick. As you know, some positive COVID cases, they never experienced symptoms at all, but that's not her. She had mild symptoms last Sunday, mostly fatigue, but like, how do you know if you're fatigued from COVID or from just being a woman trying to run a business and raise three children all at the same time? So we didn't think much of it at first, but then she got a little worse on Monday, and on Tuesday, the symptoms were enough to where she decided to go and get tested. And she got a rapid test done. It came back negative. But those aren't as reliable as the PCR send-off test. So she also got a PCR send-off test done, and that one came back positive on Wednesday morning. She immediately isolated. I immediately pulled all of the kids out of school. And Kelly has subsequently, you know, tested positive again just to confirm that first positive test. I tested negative on Wednesday and then again on Friday. And all three of our sons, incredibly, have also tested negative. So that's good.
Yep.
But because of contact tracing, we are all quarantined for the time being. The boys are out of school until after Thanksgiving. I'm not allowed in the studio for the foreseeable future, which is why I'm hosting again this show today from my home. Needless to say, things could go sideways any minute. 2 hours rarely pass in this house without something stupid happening. So wish me luck. It's not like Kelly can help because she remains isolated.
It'll make for good radio.
It's not like one of the grandparents or some neighbor can help because nobody can come inside our house. So we're on our own. And it's been an adventure. I jumped on CBS Sports HQ for like 10 minutes earlier to talk NBA draft. By the time I was done, my little guys were naked outside having a water balloon fight. So it's a circus around here. And I'm certain it's going to remain that way until Kelly is able to leave isolation. You know, I've had some people ask how she's doing. You know, how is she? Because I guess that's an obvious thing you would ask. And the truth is, not great. She has been and still is very sick. She's been in bed basically for six straight days. Incredible fatigue, body aches, pain. She lost her sense of taste, lost her sense of smell. She had a fever off and on. She's had a bad cough. Her oxygen levels started dropping on Saturday night. Now, as of this moment, they have stabilized, but undeniably, this virus has hit her good. You know, she's young and otherwise healthy, but still, the virus it hit her good, even though, yes, she will almost certainly survive. And I suppose this is the proper place to discuss the survival rate crowd, because there are very few groups of people that are more frustrating for somebody like me right now than the survival rate crowd. They just love to tell you that whomever gets this virus will almost certainly survive, as if dying or surviving are the only two outcomes. Like, there's a lot of room in the middle between life and death. And regardless, like, I don't know if some of you realize, but you really should realize how weird you are if that's the thing you choose to say or tweet when somebody explains that their wife or mom or father or brother is sick with COVID. I mean, yes, the survival rate for COVID, especially for somebody my wife's age, is very high, above 99%. But did you know the survival rate for breast cancer is also 99%? Like, as long as the cancer hasn't spread to other areas of the body when you're diagnosed with breast cancer, you have a 99% chance to survive. But have you ever seen somebody post, I don't know, on Facebook that they have breast cancer, and then folks immediately go, big deal, the survival rate is 99%, you'll be fine? Like, that never happens.
Nope.
Because it's wildly inappropriate and insensitive. And yet with COVID, it happens every day to all sorts of people. And it happened to me last night on Twitter. I honestly have no idea how any decent person could read a tweet from me about my wife being very sick and having to miss her son's fourth birthday because she's isolated with this virus, and then respond with anything other than, I hope she feels better soon, if you respond at all. But like, go look at my mentions from last night. There were lots and lots of nice people saying nice things, sending good thoughts. All appreciate. But there were also people who, I swear, I don't understand them at all. They were just quoting survival rates and discounting the virus, same way they've been doing month after month after month. It's unsurprising, if I'm being honest, but it's still crazy and disappointing. By the way, you know what else has an incredible survival rate? Getting shot in the foot. You know, if you get shot in the foot, you will almost certainly survive. Penny did. Megan Thee Stallion did. But you still don't want to get shot in the foot because it hurts like hell and because you might have foot problems for the rest of your life. The virus is similar. If you get it, you'll probably survive. But it still might cause you a lot of pain and you could have lingering issues. My wife has been in a lot of pain. And it's impossible to know at this point what, if any, lingering issues she might endure. A buddy of mine who lives in Miami texted last night and he asked me if we knew how Kelly got it, where she got it. And honestly, we don't. I mean, you guys who listen to the show regularly, you've heard me talk about this for months. We take and have taken this seriously from the jump. We wear masks in public. Right. We've had no parties. We've attended no parties. Very few people have been in our home. We've been in very few people's homes. Her store, Aid and Ollie, is one of the few stores, and maybe the only store, in South Haven that has had a mask mandate for months. Like, she will not let people inside without a mask on. But the virus still got her. Probably because basically everybody, even careful people, are at risk in this area right now. Like, we live in a county, DeSoto County, where the sheriff refuses to enforce a mask mandate. Health officials in Mississippi have said, and I quote, DeSoto County is on fire right now. But the simple-minded sheriff, his name's Bill Rasko, refuses to enforce the mask mandate. He should be ashamed of himself. And my wife's store is in a city where the mayor has never taken this virus seriously because he's the type who doesn't appear to believe in science. His name is Darren Musselwhite. He should be ashamed of himself too. Last Wednesday, the line to get tested at Baptist DeSoto in South Haven was literally 6 hours long.
Good Lord.
If you got in your car for drive-through testing, 6 hours long. Health officials have said DeSoto County, again, is, quote, on fire right now. And yet the simple-minded mayor won't require people to wear masks in public. Now, let me be clear. I'm not talking about shutting down stores or restaurants or anything, really. I'm talking about requiring people to be respectful and responsible and wear masks in public. All reputable health officials believe it should happen in DeSoto County right now, actually yesterday. But the sheriff in the county and the mayor of the biggest city in the county won't act on the health officials' advice. Again, it's embarrassing, reckless, and put simply, stupid. Both Bill Rasko and Darren Musselwhite, they've disgraced themselves with how they've handled this virus. They should be ashamed, but I'm certain they aren't. Which means all of you out there, you're on your own. So I implore you, be careful, especially if you're older and or with underlying conditions. You know, my wife is lucky. She's young and strong and in possession of great health insurance. So she'll likely eventually be fine. Fingers crossed. But my friend Cindy, right now, her mom is on a ventilator in a hospital for the 9th straight day. She might not be so lucky. My friend Drew, he lost his dad recently, even though his dad was in his 60s and had no underlying conditions. Got COVID, died. You know, this virus has already killed 246,000 Americans this year. The number is growing by the day. And though my wife might not be one of them, almost certainly will not be one of them, this entire thing has been very tough on her and on our family in general. She's sick, in real pain, for 6 straight days now. She cannot see her kids, much less hold them, love them. You know, yesterday was Lou's 4th birthday. That's been a big deal in our family every year because he was never supposed to have a first birthday. He was never supposed to be born. He's a miracle baby. So his birthday is something that we have celebrated, and others have helped us celebrate. So yesterday was his fourth birthday. Kelly was reduced to FaceTiming him. It's all like very sad, hard, but we'll get through it, I think. At least I hope. The only thing I would ask any of you, especially the virus deniers, is that you start to take this seriously if you haven't been taking it seriously, because it is very serious and it's getting worse in this area and in this country. I would prefer your family not have to go through what my family's going through right now, because what my family is going through is extremely difficult. What Kelly is dealing with is extremely difficult. And yet, the scariest part is that it could obviously be way, way worse. And I wouldn't want it for your family to possibly be way, way worse. I'll talk more about it with Jeff Calkins around 5 o'clock. But when we come back, we'll turn our attention to the NBA draft. It's scheduled for Wednesday night. Matt Babcock is an NBA draft analyst for, among others, CBS Sports HQ. I'm going to ask him about James Wiseman. I'm going to ask him about Precious Achiuwa. I'm going to ask him what he thinks Minnesota should do with the first pick. Matt Babcock's up next. You're listening to The Gary Parrish Show. We're on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The NFL and college football seasons continue to move forward. College basketball starts this month. Holiday parties are on deck. So there's a lot going on. If you like me, Gary Parrish, you might want to have a drink every once in a while you're experiencing life. And if you like me, Gary Parrish, New Amsterdam Vodka will be your drink of choice. New Amsterdam Vodka, it's a premium 80-proof vodka made from the finest quality grains. It's 5 times distilled for unparalleled smoothness, filtered 3 times to create a soft finish. As you surely know by now, it is so smooth you can drink it straight. And yes, it really is what I buy when I'm inside the liquor store. That's because it is a quality vodka that's reasonably priced. And if you're into flavored vodka, understand New Amsterdam offers a variety. Watermelon is the newest flavor. Keep an eye out for that. And don't forget, New Amsterdam also has a gluten-free vodka. So if you're on a gluten-free diet, either by choice or necessity, that's the vodka for you. Please ask for it by name when you're at a bar, restaurant, or liquor store. New Amsterdam Vodka. That's New Amsterdam Vodka. Pour your soul out on the web, newamsterdamspirits.com.
This is Gary Parrish reminding you that one of the best clothing stores in the entire country is right here in Memphis. I've been telling you about it for years. It's James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center. Have you noticed the temperatures are dropping? But don't worry. James Davis is filled with items to keep you comfortable even when you're enjoying outdoor restaurant dining. The nylon quilted vest or one of the performance activewear tops, perfect for these cooler months. They'll have you looking your best while keeping you warm. James Davis also has beautiful sweaters to layer over their incredible selection of sport shirts, and they have sport coats that can be dressed up or worn casually. Beyond that, understand it's never too early to get started on that holiday shopping list. Perhaps a gift card for a Stant custom-made shirt would make sense for that special man in your life. You could pair one of those with some jeans or some five-pocket performance pants. James Davis has the best such selection in town. Holiday deals are now available. Take advantage. It's James Davis in the Laurelwood Shopping Center on the web, jamesdavisstore.com.
There's a lot to be thankful for this holiday season, like free pickup at Kroger on all your fresh favorites. We're talking juicy turkey, grandma's famous casserole, crunchy celery, the greenest of green beans, cherry pie, pudding pie, every single kind of pie, and a swig of apple cider before you go for seconds. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Free pickup on orders of $35 or more. Restrictions may apply.
Treat yourself to fresh blueberries today. They're ripe and juicy, and 1 pint cartons are 2 for just $4 with card. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
There is no better place to get in on all of the football action than with DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. And this week, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users the chance to earn a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when signing up using promo code WMFS. DraftKings Sportsbook has endless ways for you to bet, from live betting to betting on your favorite players. They do it all. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. So go download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code WMFS when you sign up to get up to $1,000. That's code WMFS for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
Is your car battery really dead? Maybe it's a bad connector or your battery just needs a charge. Find out the answer at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination, with free testing, free charging, and Duralast batteries. The batteries more consumers choose. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
CBS Tonight. It's the season premiere of All Rise. LA's newest Superior Court judge is changing the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor.
We're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
The season premiere of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by the season premiere of Bull. CBS Tonight at 9, 8 Central.
So these days, our homes do so much. I mean, think about it. They're remote offices, movie theaters, even virtual shopping malls. And Xfinity Internet keeps it all running smoothly with the speed to power all of your devices at once. So while the kids are video gaming away, you can video chat with ease. And with coverage throughout your home, you can internet wherever, whenever. Plus, get added protection with xFi Advanced Security to help keep all of your devices safe. Xfinity Internet keeps your home humming with reliable speed and coverage. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $25 a month for 12 months with a one-year agreement. You'll get advanced security for free with the xFi Gateway. Just log in and activate through the Xfinity app. Plus, add Xfinity Mobile, and now through January 4th, get $250 off when you purchase an eligible phone. Go online, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit a store today. Requires paperless billing and auto pay, ends 11-22-20. Restrictions apply. New performance starter internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Stretch my hands to you.
Life like, this is what your life like. Try to live the life right. People really know you.
The NCAA announced earlier today that the 2021 NCAA tournament will be held in one geographic area, that area being Indianapolis. So, the tradition of you watching games originate on that first Thursday and Friday of the NCAA tournament from all over the country. Not going to be the case in 2021. Everything will happen in the Indianapolis area. Get into that in the next segment. But right now, my next guest runs BabcockHoops.com, where his latest mock draft is posted. He also works with me for CBS Sports HQ. His name is Matt Babcock. Please make him the big interview.
Award-winning writers, athletes, coaches, the biggest names in sports. It's the Gary Parish Show Big Interview. Presented by Fleming's Prime Steakhouse and Wine Bar. Using food and wine to create memorable times.
Matt, obviously I want to talk NBA draft, but first, you're a basketball guy. Chris Paul traded today to the Phoenix Suns. What do you make of that move from Phoenix's perspective?
Well, they're obviously, you know, they're going for it. I sort of have mixed feelings about it. Obviously, Chris Paul is a great player, and, you know, he's really kind of reinvented himself this last year in Oklahoma City. And my big question with it is, hey, the West is stacked. I mean, that's not going to be an easy fight trying to chip away, you know, in that conference.
Talking to Matt Babcock here from Babcock Hoops. Also does NBA draft work for CBS Sports HQ. The NBA draft is finally almost here. It is scheduled for Wednesday night. Is it clear to you who will be the first player selected?
Well, I mean, I think it's a loaded question. I think if Minnesota stays put, I do believe it's going to be Anthony Edwards. However, there's some teams that want to sneak up and snag that pick. Gerson Rosas, the head of the Timberwolves, I guess is asking for a lot. So we'll see if he lightens his demands. But, I'm kind of in a wait-and-see mode.
Forget about what Minnesota should do or what you think Minnesota will do. Who ultimately do you believe will be the best prospect from this draft? When we look back in 5 years, we'll say that's the guy who should have been taken number one. Is it clear in your mind who that guy is?
No, it's not. I mean, you know, Edwards has got the most raw talent. I mean, there's some big question marks with him, his maturity as a player, and his maturity off the floor as well. If I were to put, the most likely player to be a star, I would say Edwards, but I'm not overly confident with it. And I think that's why, Gerson's having a hard time moving that pick.
Let's talk about James Wiseman. Went to high school in Memphis, played three games at the University of Memphis. He acknowledged today that he has met with Golden State. He has met with the Hornets, has not met with Minnesota. I'm assuming as long as Minnesota's picking one, they're not taking a center when they've got Karl Anthony Towns under contract. What kind of fit is James Wiseman if he does go where most people think he would go, and that's second to the Golden State Warriors?
I think it's a great fit. I mean, I've had James, you know, going to Golden State on various mock drafts all year. You know, I think, you know, his physical profile alone and, you know, being a smart kid, I think he's going to step in and be a serviceable big day one, even on a competitive team. The upside, I mean, I think there's question marks there as well, but I do feel that he could step into Golden State and be their starting center and, you know, provide some good minutes for them.
I'm talking to Matt Babcock from Babcock Hoops. You can read him at babcockhoops.com. Also watch him on CBS Sports HQ. Precious Achiuwa is another University of Memphis product by way of New York. What is the range for him on Wednesday night? Could go as high as this, could go as low as that.
From what I'm hearing, he is in consideration as high as 9 to Washington. I don't think he's necessarily their first choice, but he's definitely in the mix. So I wouldn't be shocked to see him there. I've heard Minnesota at 17 has a lot of interest. You know, and teams in between there, I wouldn't be surprised if they took a look as well. Portland, you know, might make some sense. But yeah, I'd probably put him in the 9 to 17 if I had to, you know, put a you know, defined range on there.
Do you like him as a prospect?
I do. You know, he's got all the tools. I mean, physically, he's really impressive. You know, I question his decision making, his overall feel for the game. But I do like him. I wouldn't say I'm in love with him. But I, you know, I think he's, you know, it's definitely, you know, he's a worthy first round, you know, mid first round, you know, option.
Obviously, this has been an unusual pre-draft process, but one of the players who has reportedly made a big impact on front office executives in workouts is Patrick Williams, the one and done wing from Florida State. If you look at the numbers in college, they will not jump off of a page, but 6'8", 7 foot wingspan. He's 225 pounds, so he's not just long. He's also big and strong. You've got him now going 7th to the Detroit Pistons. Explain to people who probably aren't familiar with Patrick Williams what makes him such an interesting prospect.
It's sort of hard to describe, you know, Achiuwa. You know, on paper, he's got all the tools. I mean, he's got, you know, the physique, he's got the physical tools, and he's got a skill set that's translatable, especially with the way the NBA is played now with, you know, undersized fours that can stretch the floor and switch on defense, and that's definitely Patrick Williams. You know, he had a rough start to his freshman year. wasn't that consistent, but did show flashes of what, you know, what he could end up being. And I definitely think he's a little bit more of a project than a sure thing, and, you know, or a guy that's ready to step in and contribute at a high level. But he seems to have a lot of fans in the lottery.
Do you like Obi Toppin? Everybody has him in the top 5. Nobody really has him going in the top 2 or 3. Some reference his age. He's 22 years old in a draft where, you know, 18 and 19-year-olds are available. What kind of career do you envision Obi Toppin having?
Yeah, no, I love Obi Toppin. I've been high on him all year. And, you know, I was at the Maui Invitational, and, you know, I went into that tournament. I had him at number 13. I believe I was higher on him than anybody. And he did really well there. We moved up to, I think, 5. And, yeah, he's never really looked back, just a dynamic offensive player. And I've had him as high as number 1. I mean, when Minnesota first won the lottery, I thought he was the best fit. You know, making my calls and all that, it doesn't seem like he's a, you know, legitimate option for number 1. But I don't see him getting past number 5. Supposedly Kobe Altman really, really likes him.
Talking to Matt Babcock from Babcock Hoops, one of the things I noticed is that you've got Isaiah Joe from Arkansas going 21st to the Sixers. He's a 6'5 guard who really shot it well from the perimeter as a freshman, not as well as a sophomore, but still he is regarded as a high-level shooter, a guard with size. Most people, though, do not have him in the first round. Why do you have him so high?
Well, you know, he had a rough year. He was playing injured for, you know, good part of the year, and I think he kind of got into quicksand a little bit of, you know, struggling. So, I mean, I think a lot of the evaluation on him is what we project him to be, not what he's done already. As far as with Philly, you know, I've been having a hard time trying to figure out what they're doing at 21. I did get some intel that, you know, Isaiah Joe was planning to go back to school and that he got a guarantee from Philly. I'm not certain that it's at 21. It could be at 34. But, you know, that's the only intel I have to go off of, so I'm rolling the dice here a little bit.
Going into the second round, the Grizzlies are obviously picking 40th. You have them selecting Jay Scrubb, who is a junior college prospect, JUCO Player of the Year. He was signed to go to Louisville, decided the NBA draft. For people who haven't seen him, and I imagine that's everybody listening right now, what kind of prospect is Jay Scrubb?
Yeah, he's really intriguing. You know, he's a 6'6 lefty. You know, shoot the ball from all over the floor. Just a natural playmaker. Needs some coaching, needs some time to kind of learn the game and get his body together as well. But, I mean, a super high upside kid. I mean, at 40 with Memphis, I mean, I could see long-term if it were to click with Scrubb, he'd be a great running mate with John Morant.
They do need athletic wings. They also need perimeter shooting. Are there any shooters in the 40 range that you think maybe the Grizzlies should be interested in?
You know, second round's so hard. You never really know who's going to be there. There's always guys that slip and kind of shake it up a little bit. You know, if a guy like Jordan Nwora were to slip or Desmond Bain, those guys are high-level shooters. I question if they'll be there at 40, but those guys would be great, you know, in terms of stretching the floor.
I'm wrapping up here with Matt Babcock from Babcock Hoops, also does NBA draft work for CBS Sports HQ. At number 25 to the Oklahoma City Thunder, you've got Tyrell Terry being selected there. He's a one-and-done point guard from Stanford who nobody thought was going to be a one-and-done point guard when he enrolled in college. What is it that he does so well that now makes him a possible, if not probable, first-round pick?
Well, he shoots the ball extremely well. I mean, that's definitely his key strength, and he's, you know, perhaps the best shooting guard in the draft. I personally question him a little bit. You know, his physical profile, he's very physically weak. He's not overly athletic. I question if he could defend at the NBA level. He does have a significant amount of buzz, though. In Oklahoma City, you know, it's the worst-kept secret. They're going full rebuild mode, and they're looking for upside players. And so Tyrell Terry is a guy that would fit that profile. And, you know, at 25, I think they've got the luxury of, you know, swinging for the fences on their picks.
That is Matt Babcock from Babcock Hoops. Also does NBA draft work for CBS Sports HQ. So make sure to watch him all week on CBS Sports HQ. Go check that mock draft at Babcock Hoops. .com. Matt, thanks so much for being here, buddy, and I will talk to you on camera soon, I'm certain.
No, that sounds good. Thanks a lot, Gary.
Take care, buddy. That's Matt Babcock from Babcock Hoops. Funny story about Tyrell Terry. So I get a text message. And keep in mind, I cover college basketball for crying out loud. Tyrell Terry, for people who don't know, is like a, you know, top 50 guy. You know, certainly not McDonald's All-American, not somebody who people thought was going to be a one-and-done player. Has a nice year at Stanford, but like Stanford was off of the national radar most of the season. That's not a team that was consistently ranked in the top 25. Plus, they play in California, so that puts you off the radar unless you are a top 10 team. For much of America. So I'm familiar with Tyrell Terry, but I'm certainly not a Tyrell Terry expert. Little surprised when I heard that he was going to enter the NBA draft, although impossible to question him considering he's going to have a guaranteed contract and it could be via a first-round pick. So I got a text message randomly one day from one of my best friends from high school. And he says, GP, what do you think about my little nephew entering the draft? And I remember seeing the text message, but I didn't respond because I was in the middle of a million things. Who knows? And then it's just like I forgot about it. And then I got another text message from him, the same person. And as anybody with an iPhone knows, like you'll sometimes click on that and go, oh, geez, I never responded to this text message. And I start thinking, like, who is Ken Terry's nephew? And it's Tyrell Terry. Now, Ken Terry, this is wild. He's a buddy of mine. He moved from North Dakota to Horn Lake when he was in high school. And we lived right next to each other. So, like, I would pick him up for school every morning. He was one of my best friends in high school. We rode to school together every morning. He ended up being Mr. Horn Lake. He was the quarterback on our football team. He was played baseball, a tremendous athlete. And wildly, he has a nephew who he developed into a pretty awesome high school prospect, went to Stanford, and is now going to be picked maybe in the top 30 of Wednesday night's NBA draft. Again, Matt Babcock has him going 25th overall. So I have a wild connection to Tyrell Terry that I never knew existed until
My old buddy reached out to me, but you know, I've seen on Instagram they're like fired up. They got their Tyrell Terry gear and they're ready for draft night. So it's just a cool moment for that family. It'll be, and that's the other thing I love about the NBA draft. I mean, the truth is, I think John Hollinger posted something about this earlier today or in the past couple of days. We spend so much time talking about all of these prospects leading up to every NBA draft. And for this NBA draft, we've spent more time than ever because what was supposed to take place in June is now taking place in November. I've done more mock drafts on the 2020 NBA draft than I'd ever want to do again. Like, my last one was filed today, and I, like, if I had a cigar and I was a smoker, I would have lit it and felt real good about myself because I am worn out talking about these prospects because I feel like I've been talking about them forever, for more than a year. But the truth is, after we get through talking about them on Wednesday night, there's about 20 that will matter. We've talked about 80 for a solid year. And after Wednesday night, about 20 will matter. And some of these guys, we will never talk about again. Not on a podcast, not on radio, not on TV, not anywhere. That said, hearing your name called as being a selection of an NBA franchise is such an incredible dream come true for these players and, by extension, their families. So, yes, I want to know where James Wiseman is going and LaMelo Ball is going and Precious Achiuwa is going and Anthony Edwards is going, but I'm especially interested also in where Tyrell Terry is going to go because one of my best friends from high school, like, that's his nephew. That'll be an amazing moment for that family. So I couldn't be happier for them. They'll have a family member in the NBA, I guess, next month, considering the season starts 3 days before Christmas. When we come back, the NCAA announced earlier today that the 2021 NCAA tournament is still going to be held on schedule, if possible, but it will not be as it traditionally is. Instead of having 13 different locations that culminate with a Final Four this year, this season, supposed to be in Indianapolis, everything's going to happen in the same general geographic area, which is Indianapolis. So it's a big, big move, but almost certainly the right one. And I'll explain why when we get back. You listen to the Gary Parrish Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
So you're watching the game, you see another ad for FanDuel Sportsbook, and you think to yourself, is that legal here in Tennessee? You bet it is. FanDuel Sportsbook is now legal in Tennessee, and you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free and get up to $1,000 back if you don't win. Seriously, there's no strings attached. You just place any bet you want. If you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you'll get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit, so you can take another shot at the end zone on the house. We got Monday Night Football, Vikings at Bears tonight. Total is 44. That's kind of a low number, but I'm liking the under. Both of these teams are pretty good defensively. Vikings defense has gotten better over the last few weeks, so liking the under tonight. And with FanDuel Sportsbook, generous risk-free bets are just the beginning. They've got a simple app, live betting on every game, and exhilarating bet types such as same-game parlays, where you can buy multiple bets from one game into a single parlay. And once you win on FanDuel Sportsbook, they get your winnings in as little as 24 hours. And again, the app, it's super easy to use. If you haven't registered yet, super easy to register and deposit your money, and it's easy to find that exact bet you're looking for, and they got a ton of bets available on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. So to claim your risk-free bet, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Be sure to sign up with promo code Bennett so they know I sent you. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Bennett. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
Coming up Tuesday, we'll recap a huge NFC North game on Monday Night Football. Will a change in play caller be the difference for the Bears offense? Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, Tuesday, 6 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, weekday mornings, 5 a.m. till 9 a.m., live on 92.9 FM ESPN. Download the radio.com app and listen to 92.9 FM ESPN on the go. Then simply favorite 92.9 FM ESPN on your smartphone. 92.9 FM ESPN.
It's finally getting cooler. The holidays are on the way, so now's the time to visit your friends at Oak Hall for a special pre-Thanksgiving sale. It's a progressive sale, so the more you buy, the more you save on any item in the store. Here's how it works. The first item, you get an automatic 15% off. Buy a second item of equal or lesser price, you get 20% off. Buy a third item of equal or lesser price, you get 25% off. And this keeps going no matter how many items you buy. So the fourth item, 15% off. The fifth item, 20% off. The sixth item, 25% off. It's honestly a way to freshen up and restore your entire wardrobe. I was just at Oak Hall buying three new pairs of five-pocket pants. My boss at the radio station, Dan Barron, got two pairs of incredibly comfortable Peter Millar corduroys. It's been a hard year for all of us, so treat yourself to some gorgeous, comfortable clothes. The store is restocked and packed with beautiful merchandise, so take advantage of it today through Saturday at Oak Hall's special pre-Thanksgiving sale.
Is your car battery really dead? Maybe it's a bad connector or your battery just needs a charge. Find out the answer at AutoZone, America's number one battery destination, with free testing, free charging, and Duralast batteries. The batteries more consumers choose. Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Memphis is known for its barbecue, but only one Memphis area restaurant actually serves world championship barbecue, and this is Gary Parrish reminding you that it's Memphis Barbecue Company, which is owned by Melissa Cookston, who is an eight-time world champion and the first woman ever inducted into the Barbecue Hall of Fame. So yeah, the barbecue is great, but did you realize Memphis Barbecue Company is way more than just barbecue? They have a full menu for everybody to enjoy. Fried catfish, grilled salmon or chicken, and the best smoked wings around. You can see the menu online and even make a pickup order at MemphisBBQCO.com. That's MemphisBBQCO.com.
You've heard of the Carpenter Art Garden, right? And all the wonderful things it does for the underprivileged young people in Binghamton? Well, now the Carpenter Art Garden hires kids from the neighborhood as staff. That's due in part to a grant from Triumph Bank. And this summer, a group of volunteers from Triumph Bank will be working with the Carpenter Art Garden to teach a six-week course on financial education and literacy. Think about all the things you know that you take for granted. How to set up a checking account, how to use a debit card, how to budget, and how to save. Triumph Bank understands it's impossible to build any kind of financial future without these basic skills. So they've put together a team of volunteers, which includes the CEO of the bank, Will Chase, by the way, to make sure the kids at the Carpenter Art Garden have the knowledge and the access that they need. That's why Triumph Bank is a different kind of bank, and that's how the people at Triumph Bank treat everyone who steps through their doors. So go to their website at triumphbank.com. They're invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
Ever wonder just how far an extra mile really goes? Drive a Mercedes-Benz van and find out. Start with a network of over 250 authorized dealerships, backed by a sales force ready to help you with everything from customization and service to financing options. They offer a variety of vans, like the durable Mercedes-Benz Sprinter or versatile Mercedes-Benz Metris, each tailored to match your work or play lifestyle. With options like blind spot assist and active lane keeping assist, plus MBUX voice command technology for directions, weather forecast, comfort control, and more.
The route is being calculated.
So whether you're enjoying life on the trail or working hard on the job, see how far an extra mile can really go by taking the first step into an authorized Mercedes-Benz van dealership for a test drive today. Mercedes-Benz vans.
Some equipment described as optional.
I didn't feel so well, so I searched my symptoms on Google, and now I'm being followed by uncomfortable ads. I hate feeling like my personal data is being bought and sold. I downloaded DuckDuckGo and saw a difference right away. Take back your privacy with DuckDuckGo.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parrish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
The God Killer, this Tokyo and I'm Godzilla. Playing Blackjack versus Death Gun on the card dealer. Just bought a demon, I'm screaming about the card dealer. The last temptation of Mike, but I'm a God digger. Tell me as a bob that the God don't need a job. And if I did, the oligarchs would be missing, murdered, and wrong. This is Bonaparte, and he paid with Tucson. And they went on the world conquest, tearing your Bonaparte. Michael remained murderous.
Are you looking for auto insurance, homeowners insurance, life insurance, business insurance? If so, get in touch with Elizabeth Brook Insurance. That's a second-generation local agency. Been owned and operated since 1981. If you live in Tennessee, Elizabeth can help you. If you live in Mississippi, she can help you. She's a proud partner with Memphis Tigers Athletics. So if you are somebody who likes to support local businesses that support the local athletic department, especially in these trying times, Elizabeth Brook Insurance is the insurance agency for you. Do you have a good life insurance policy? If not, you need to have one. You wouldn't want something to happen to you and then your family be left in a financial bind. Emotionally already devastated, now financially devastated as well. You can avoid that very easily with a good life insurance policy. If you have one, congrats. If you don't, get in touch with Elizabeth Brook Insurance. Right now, they're waiving the medical exam to help customers with COVID-19 social distancing protocols. Take advantage of that. You can check the website for more information, rookinsurance.com. Two locations in the Memphis area. One is in Lakeland on Canada Road. The other is on Highway 51 in Covington. And you can reach them, 901-867-SAVE. That's 901-867-7283. So Elizabeth Brook Insurance on the web. RookInsurance.com. Jeff Calkins is going to join me a little after 5 o'clock, but right now, got four stories I'd like to discuss.
Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
Due to challenges associated with the coronavirus pandemic, the entire 2021 NCAA men's basketball tournament will be played in one general location, the NCAA announced earlier today. They have not confirmed that the location will be the greater Indianapolis area, but I can tell you it is going to be the greater Indianapolis area. The Final Four was already scheduled to be there, and Indianapolis is uniquely equipped to handle something like this because you've got Bankers Life there, you've got a dome there, you've got Butler there. There are multiple high school gyms in the area that hold like 8,000 or 9,000 people, big enough for an NCAA tournament game. If you wanted to go further, you could go to Purdue. You could go to Indiana. IUPUI is right there. There's a whole bunch of options to hold these games. And anybody who's ever been to Indianapolis, you know, because they're used to hosting big events in that city, Super Bowls, Final Fours. They have an endless number, or what it feels like, an endless number of hotel rooms. There's a bazillion hotels there. So what the NCAA is doing here is being proactive. Rather than waiting around and just hoping that things will go well, because again, if you read even a little bit, you know that this pandemic is not in our past. It is very much in our present and in our future, and it's still going to be here in March. If you also read just a little bit, you know that one of the struggles college football has had is when teams travel. You know, obviously you can catch this virus in any number of ways and without ever leaving, your place of residence or college campus. But where too many programs have had real outbreaks is when they start traveling, getting on planes, getting on buses, checking into hotels that they're unfamiliar with. So what's the NCAA doing here? They're trying to reduce risk, reduce obstacles. There is no way to foolproof this thing outside of going to hardcore bubble like the NBA did. They're not going to do that with 68 teams. I'm not sure that they shouldn't. I'm just saying they're not going to. So this is the next best thing. Rather than have, I don't know, one site in Albany and another site in Seattle and another site in Memphis and another site in Louisville and another site in Sacramento and another site in Oklahoma City and have all these teams there and then the winners of the first round and second round travel to a new site, get on planes, get on buses, and then the winners of the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight travel to a new site for a Final Four. Let's just get everybody in one place right from the jump. We eliminate all but 16 teams after 4 days, and the 16 teams that advance, they don't have to travel. And then the four teams that advance to the Final Four, they don't have to travel. They're already there. So this is just an obvious way to minimize risk and reduce the obstacles that are in front of them when it comes to the goal of completing a 2021 NCAA tournament. And I have been saying this for months and months and months. The NCAA would be smart to identify the only thing that matters, which is starting and completing an NCAA tournament, crowning a champion, and cashing a billion-dollar check. Identify that
and then create the simplest path possible to achieving that goal. Now, I don't think they've actually done it, because I would have eliminated non-league games and gone to conference-only schedules, perhaps in bubbles. But they didn't put me in charge. So we're going to try to do non-league games starting next week. I'm not sure how well it will go, but like that's the plan. So they haven't actually done it as well as I would have preferred, but clearly taking the NCAA tournament and putting the whole thing in one general location is a way to reduce risk, minimize the obstacles, and give yourself a better chance. Not 100% chance, but a better chance to start and complete the 2021 NCAA tournament. Now the question becomes, will they actually play it in March and finish on schedule in April? Dan Gavitt, who works for the NCAA and is spearheading this thing, said earlier today that that is the plan and the hope for a lot of different reasons. But obviously, they didn't rule out moving it to a later date, because they might be forced to move it to a later date. There is a scenario where you get, you know, a week out of Selection Sunday and somebody's only played 8 games because of positive tests and contact tracing and shutdowns after shutdowns after shutdowns. So if you move it back, you could give yourself a bigger window to complete more of your schedule, makeup games. But the other thing that's interesting is that if you moved it back, you might be able to have an entirely different NCAA tournament. Yeah, we could hold it all in Indianapolis, but could we do it in Indianapolis with maybe not capacity crowds, but bigger crowds than you'll be able to have in March? Because I don't know if you saw it, but just last week, we've had positive vaccine news. Last week with Pfizer, today with another company. And Dr. Anthony Fauci said last week that he believes the virus will be available for our most vulnerable elderly frontline workers as early as December, and then widely available for any American who wants it. It is possible that that happens in April. So if you were to actually push the NCAA tournament back to, say, May, we might have a vaccine that your family and my family could take by then. Like, my family and your family are not going to be able to have access to a vaccine next month, unless your family includes possibly the elderly or frontline workers. But for, let's just say, my family, which my family in my home, which includes none of that, we will not be able to get the vaccine in December. But Dr. Fauci does believe we might be able to get it in April. So there's a scenario where we could, as a country, you know, have millions of people vaccinated in April, and then maybe in May or even June, you could conduct something that looks and feels more like an NCAA tournament. And it's possible that is where we'll get to. But to be clear, that's not the plan right now. The plan is to have Selection Sunday when Selection Sunday is scheduled, and have the national championship game when the national championship game is scheduled. What is interesting, though, is that the NCAA tournament will not flow as it normally flows, even if it does go in that window. In other words, Selection Sunday will be on a Sunday. And in normal years, the first four starts on that Tuesday night, games on Wednesday, and then the main bracket starts on that Thursday, Friday. Not going to be like that this season, because they're going to want to identify the teams that are in it, publish the bracket. That'll happen on Sunday on CBS, America's Most Watched Network, Network Stars. And then they will fly all those teams to Indianapolis, test, 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 quarantine, quarantine, quarantine. They're not going to be playing 2 days later, 3 days later, 4 days later. They might really do a week-long quarantine in Indianapolis to make sure everybody is clean, and then start the NCAA tournament. And then they'll make up, get it back on schedule, because you won't have travel days. Normally, in the NCAA tournament, you're going to have that big Thursday, round of 64, Friday, round of 64, round of 32 on Saturday, Sunday. On Monday, everybody travels. We don't have a game. We don't have Sweet 16 games till Thursday and Friday. In this year, and I'm just off the top of my head here, in this season rather, you could have the normal Thursday and Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, and then you could play the Sweet 16 on Monday and Tuesday if you wanted to, or take Monday off and play it on Tuesday and Wednesday if you wanted to, and then get to the Final Four by Friday or Saturday, and then play the national championship game on that Monday night. You don't have to build in time for travel, because once people are in Indianapolis, you ain't leaving until you're eliminated or holding a trophy. So that is the big news from the NCAA today. But like I said on the Ion College Basketball podcast that we recorded this afternoon, I seriously doubt this will be the last big announcement we have related to the scheduling of anything that has to do with college basketball, because though I still believe we're going to start, and I do believe we're going to finish, everything in between that start and finish is way up in the air.
Story number two.
Good news today from the University of Memphis and the University of Tennessee. They jointly announced that the neutral site game in Nashville that was scheduled for this season but will not be played isn't just going to be tossed to the side forever. They have rescheduled it for December 18, 2021 at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville. That is on a Saturday. So Tigers fans and Vols fans will be able to have a weekend in Nashville if they feel like doing it. And fingers crossed, that will come at a time when we will be able to fill up a basketball arena and have it look and feel like a basketball arena is supposed to look and feel outside of a pandemic. So, Bennett, we talked about this when Rick Barnes made it clear, and Penny certainly suggested that this game wasn't going to happen this season. And the big question for people who want this game to be played, myself included, was will they ever reschedule it? And I told you I believe that they would, because they were already both on the record saying that they wanted to. You know, it wasn't like one school was saying, I don't know, we'll look into it, maybe if we can make it fit. Like Memphis said, we want to play the game. And Tennessee said, we were working to reschedule the game. So I took them at their word. And today, that was proven to be a decent approach, because they made good on their word. There's a million other scheduling things going on right now, but the two schools did commit to rescheduling this season's game for next season, December 18, 2021, inside Bridgestone Arena. And hopefully, at some point between now and then, they will announce, Memphis and Tennessee, that they are extending this rivalry series because it is a game that both fan bases enjoy and that I think, for the good of both programs, should probably be played.
Story number three.
Will Muschamp got his brains beat out by Ole Miss on Saturday night and then got fired at South Carolina on Sunday. And I won't spend much time on this, although I tweeted about it late Saturday night. I will never understand, on a very basic level, how Will Muschamp gets hired at South Carolina, other than, you know, he's represented by Jimmy Sexton, and Jimmy Sexton is, you know, the GOAT. He's
there
a magician, and he
right.
gets things done. But, like, I'll make this very simple. If you can't win at Florida, why would somebody think you can win at South Carolina, which is an inferior job in the same division as the University of Florida? Like, in the SEC East, it makes no sense. In the SEC East, at the top of it in terms of jobs, like, forget about the standings. I'm not worried about that. The best jobs, like, you can have any job in the SEC East. You want the Georgia job or the Florida job.
Mm-hmm.
And way down at the bottom of that is the South Carolina job. All right. So Will Muschamp had one of the best jobs in that division. He had the Florida job, and he had one good year. And that good year was a good year. 11-2, went to the Sugar Bowl, finished ninth in the AP poll. But outside of that, it was mediocrity. 7-6, 4-8. Last year was 6-5. That is what will get you fired at Florida. So you give a guy one of the best jobs in the country and one of the top two jobs in the SEC East, and he can't do the job. Now you give him the worst job, or one of the worst jobs at least, in the SEC East. You think he's going to be able to do that job?
No.
No. Like, if somebody can do the worst job in the league, well, you might think maybe they could do the best job in the league brilliantly. Guess who falls into that? Dan Mullen. Had a terrible job in the SEC at Mississippi State. Did it well. I understand why Florida wanted to hire Dan Mullen. My God, if that guy can win in this league at that place, what could he do here? That makes all the sense in the world to me. But Will Muschamp, why would South Carolina think he's going to win at South Carolina if he couldn't win at Florida? Like, this is different than when you see, like, with Anthony Grant in basketball. Anthony Grant was great at VCU, not great at Alabama, got hired at Dayton, and now what is he? Great again. But there was no reason for Dayton to look at what Anthony Grant was at Alabama and say he can't do our job in our league. What would have been crazy is if somebody saw Anthony Grant fail at Alabama, like, I don't know, Ole Miss. If Ole Miss would have saw Anthony Grant fail at Alabama and say, well, we'll give him our job. Hold on. He just had a job in your league that's better than your job. He couldn't do that one well. Why do you think he could do your worst job well? What are we talking about? But like Dayton? Okay, maybe Anthony Grant can't win in the SEC at Alabama, but can he win in the Atlantic 10 at Dayton? Maybe. I see how you could maybe talk yourself into that. So they hire him, and then they were going to be a number one seed in the NCAA tournament last season. That makes sense. Will Muschamp at South Carolina never made a lick of sense. So if you're an athletic director out there somewhere, just understand this. With very rare exceptions, if somebody has a great job in college athletics but isn't great at that job, you probably shouldn't hire them for your worst job. Because if they couldn't do well at the great job, the odds of them doing well at your bad job, not very good.
Story number four.
Congratulations to Dustin Johnson, number one ranked golfer in the world. Finished top the leaderboard at Augusta National yesterday. 20 under par. He went 65-70, 65-68, won the tournament.